So we are at the start of another new year, 2024. Can you believe it? 2024. At the beginning of the new year, many people like to make resolutions as to what they'd like to happen in the year ahead. People might want to lose weight. They might want to become fitter, spend more time with their family and less time at work. They might want to get married, change their career track, move house, have children, start a new hobby, update or make a will, get more organized, save money, be more motivated, find a new hobby, whatever it is. There are so many resolutions out there. Now, it may be that you have made some or none of those resolutions on your list. Now, there's nothing wrong with resolutions per se. But the trouble that I find is that for many, it's just a repeat of previous years that start off strong and finish with a whimper. Even before, at times, January is out. Now, that's not everybody when it comes to resolutions, but I would say that that's quite a big proportion, percentage of those who make resolutions in the world around us. Now, this often can be that it doesn't happen due to a lack of time, and perhaps even at times a lack of motivation. For those of us who know Jesus, at the top of our list for priorities in the year, it would probably be safe to assume that people want to spend more time with God. They want to pray more. They want to read their Bible more. They want to study more. And again, we often start off with the right intentions. But at times, simply life gets in the way. Busyness, stress, confusion, fear, illness, temptations, and seemingly more fulfilling propositions can end up making us fall short on what we set out to do. Perhaps even this morning, some of us don't set ourselves goals for the year ahead because we've seen ourselves fail too many times before. So why even bother setting resolutions or setting goals? Now, this is not a message this morning to make ourselves feel bad, but rather to try and pinpoint why this happens more than we'd like, and look at how we can set ourselves up to succeed this year and not fail. Do you want to be able to succeed this year? Do you want to be able to succeed in everything that God's got for you? I do, and I'm sure my hope is that you do too. I'm sure you'd all agree with me this morning that we live in a world that is challenging to our morals, when everything, even that is sinful, is promoted as being fine, to the decisions we make that are judged by every other person, sometimes even those who don't know us, our hopes and dreams to our faith in God, as all around us we see pain, suffering, discord, anger, jealousy, fear, disease, death, abuse. We have all these things, and there's so many things that challenge our faith, so many things that challenge the decisions we make, and because they're judged by everybody else and even our hopes and dreams. Now, we may try and ignore, think it doesn't matter or it doesn't affect us when these things come our way. But the truth is, it does affect us more than we probably care to admit. Because you and I, or at least I believe this is the case, you and I are not robots. Don't think there's a robot in here this morning. But we're not robots. So we do get affected by the things around us. You have feelings. Did you know this morning, you are not just a body? Did you know this morning that actually you have a soul? And actually your soul is actually more important than your body. You see, you and I are created, the world is created with a soul that is designed for relationship with God, because we are made in his image. Matthew 16:26 says, "What good will it be for someone to gain the whole world, yet forfeit their soul? Or what can anyone give in exchange for their soul?" The body is important. Yes, God has given us the body that we have. Whether you like it or not, this body is yours. God has given it to you.
We need to look after it. But
our soul, what is on the inside of us, is even more important. Would you agree this morning? Because it is. You see, we are souls with a body, not bodies with a soul. Genesis 2 verse 7 says, "And the Lord God formed man of dust, of the dust of the ground." And then what did he do? He breathed in his nostrils the breath of life. So he formed man, but it was dead. But then he breathed into it. And that is where our soul is, the breath of God within us. The body was nothing until God breathed his breath into man, into his soul. When this life ends, your body, whether you're particularly attached to it or not, will be dead. But your soul will live on, and your soul belongs to God. Whenever we see abuse, suffering, hatred, violence, gossip, jealousy, people treating each other as worthless, sin being so prevalent, it seeks to gain entry to our soul, to pollute our thinking, our words and actions. We have to protect our souls. Because the things that we see, the things that you watch on the news, the things that you allow your eyes to see, the things that you are impacted by as you have conversations, they affect our souls. Now, it can either affect our souls in the right way, or it can affect our souls in the wrong way. One of two things invariably happen when we're challenged by the world's standards. We either stand and fight, protect, or we give in and follow the ways of the world. In the process, that when we give in to the ways of the world, when we give in to the things and the influences, what happens is it begins to chip away in the soul. Chip away at what God's created, making it more difficult, putting barriers in place between you and God, stopping you becoming who God's called you to be. But hear this, God has called every person, including you, to relationship with him and to turn and to fight against the enemy's schemes and his influences. Let me just remind you of this. The enemy, the devil, is out to get you. He's out to separate, to cause you to be blinded to the things of God. Whether you've been a Christian for 5 minutes, or whether you've been a Christian for 40 years, 60 years, whether you don't know Jesus or not, he's doing everything he can to blind you to the things of God. 1 Peter 5 verse 8 says, "Be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour." And Ephesians 6 verse 12 and 13 says, "For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground." Stand ready to fight. You either stand and fight, or you give in and let the influences of this world have their way. What are you and I going to choose? You see, everything we see and hear as a result, and as a result maybe think about and in certain circumstances speak or act upon, has an impact on how we live our lives, whether that be consciously or subconsciously. This is not something that we can ignore and hope it doesn't affect us. When you see things with your eyes, when you hear things that you don't like, or are temptations, or whatever it might be, they can have an impact. It doesn't just go in one ear and the other. The problem is that we ignore these things sometimes. Sometimes we ignore these signs, and we just think, oh, it's just the way of the world. The enemy is clever. Scripture tells us he's the father of all lies. Anything that comes out of his mouth can't be trusted. We need to be careful. We can't ignore it or hope it won't affect us. We need to be aware of what we're up against. We need to fight against it. And at the key moments, and this is where our new series comes in, at the key moments, we need to undertake what I called this morning a soul detox. What do I mean by a soul detox? Well, what is a detox to start with? A detox is the phrase often used in terms of our physical body, and a process by which the bad toxins are released from the body to be replaced with good stuff. People often do it. If you research data, you'd often see it in regards to food and the food that people eat, and they start eating certain things to release those toxins. In the same way, a soul detox helps us to get rid of worldly influences, hurts, sins, and difficulties that stop us from being who God has called us to be and replace with biblical truth. Because what I'm saying is this, that scripture says in Ephesians 6 that the enemy tries to fire fiery arrows at you. If a fiery arrow hits you, it's going to cause a little bit of damage. The soul, the chipping away at your soul happens. And if we don't respond to that, the harder and harder it becomes. And our hearts, our souls become more blinded to the things of God. I'm not saying this morning that you are. Let me get that right now. I'm not saying you are and that your soul is dark or anything like that. But what I'm saying is that if we don't do the right processes, if we don't take time to at times detox those things that are going on around us and impact us in our soul, it will and can have an effect. You see, what we need to do is, in rather than having these influences that from our hurts, sins, and difficulties that stop us from being who God called us to be, we need to replace these things with biblical truth. Okay? The detox, soul detox is about replacing things, allowing God to heal, bring restoration, but also for us to have the processes in which to restore our kind of our souls to the place where we're living the way God wants us to. Do you get me so far?
Yes.
I hope you get me by the end as well. So over the course of the next 4 weeks, we're going to invite all of us to come before God to allow ourselves to have a detox of sorts as we move into 2024. Our soul detox series will look at what it means to detox our eyes, our hearts, our words and our actions. Four things, there may be others, but four key things I believe are crucial for us to be as close to God as we can be this year. To restore that which is broken in us. Because I don't know about you, but I don't go through life feeling that I'm 100% great all the time. There's things in my life that I want to see changed. I'm sure as you do. I want to be closer to God. We need to do these things as processes to help us with that. So our key passage for this year or this month even is based around Philippians chapter 4. And it's just two verses, and then we're going to read another couple of verses from somewhere else to help us with this first area of soul detox. So Philippians chapter 4, verse 8 and 9 says this. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you've learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. Whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right. Think about these things. Let's flip across, shall we, to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6, verse 22 to 23. Matthew chapter 6, verse 22 to 23 says this. The eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are good, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes are bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light within you is darkness, how great is that darkness? In this first part of our new series, on the soul detox, we're going to be focusing on the eyes. The eyes, now most of us have two of them. Some of us have near perfect vision, while other of us need a little additional help to see things. Eyes enable us to see where we're going, the size, shape, color, and texture of an object. They help us to keep our balance and maintain our, I don't know how to say this word, circadian rhythm, is that right? Is that right, Charlotte? Is it circadian rhythm? Circadian rhythm, thank you very much. Circadian rhythm. No idea what that is? Well, I didn't either, so I had to look it up. It dictates multiple processes in the body, including alertness, sleepiness, appetite, and body temperature. So there's a few little things about the eyes, what they do. But also, here are some facts that I thought you might find really interesting this morning about your eyes. Your eyes are the second most complex organ after the brain. You can imagine how complex the brain is. The eyes are the second most complex organ. The eye has over 2 million working parts. That's a lot of parts. It's possible, I don't know if any of you are going to try it, but it's possible to blink 5 times in a second. It is possible. I don't know if you want to try that. I didn't try this in preparation, but you actually can do it. Probably they're so minute you can't actually see them. But you can blink five times in a second. The eyes, this is incredible, the eyes are able to process 36,000 pieces of information each hour. Did you know that you could even think about those kind of things? You do. You process that amount of information. And in your lifetime, your eyes will see 24 million different images. 24 million. Your eyes see a lot. Your eyes do a lot. But the eyes are not just physically important to us, but they play an important role in the soul of a person. That which connects us with God. William Shakespeare once said, "The eyes are the window to your soul." But the Bible said it before him. The Bible says what we've just read in Matthew 6, verse 22 to 23, "The eye is the lamp of the body." So if your eye is healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light in you is darkness, how great is the darkness? What does Jesus mean by this saying then about the eyes being the light of the body? Quite simply, what you allow into your eyes will have an impact on either positively or negatively on your soul. How you respond to God and how you live life accordingly. If you focus your eyes on things that are edifying and God-honoring, as we've read in Philippians, your soul will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, if we allow ourselves to look upon things that are evil, it can corrupt us and affect our relationships with God and the world around us. It begins to chip away at our soul. The biggest challenge we face to walking in the light is the devil, who masquerades as an angel of light. 2 Corinthians 11 verse 14 talks about that. He makes it seem like it's okay to do what other people, what the world are doing, because they're all doing it, it's fine. His intention is to blind you and me from the truth. And he seeks to use our eyes to gain entrance to our souls. That is why we need to be on guard. We need to be on guard. The dark things that the devil wants to pass off as light are things such as the continual pursuit of materialism, pornography, pride of life, like arrogance and thinking you're better than everyone else, putting people down. Pursuit of money above everything else, and the life and loads of other things that we see. And some of them, in there, you know, there's certain things that those we've mentioned are big things. But there are other things as well that if we look too much towards them, taking the focus off of God, they too can have an impact on our soul. Because he's very subtle. The enemy is very subtle. He does things through the most simplest of avenues. It's why we need to be on our guard. So how do we make sure that darkness doesn't have a platform in our lives? How do we make sure that we keep our eyes in the right direction? We need to be prepared. We need to be prepared. First of all, we need to get our priorities straight. 1 John 2 verse 15 to 16 says, "Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world." Every single one of us this morning can appreciate things in the world that enhance life. Certain material possessions, money, TV programs and the like. They're there. And sometimes we have to use certain things. Sometimes we like to use certain things. But when they become the most important thing above your relationship with God, when you look to the world instead of into God when making decisions, then this is when you have a problem. When we're looking to the world standards, when we're looking to the things of the world to find fulfillment, to find purpose, to find direction, we are in danger. When we're looking to the world to find satisfaction, we're in danger. Our scripture tells us that we can't love God and love the world. Why? Because they're opposites, they're in competition with each other. You can't live in two camps. You can't live in the camp of the world and the camp of God at the same time. They're in complete opposite, so you're doing the splits. If you imagine doing the splits, it'll hurt after a while. You can't stay in one camp and in the other camp at the same time. It's just not possible. Secondly, we've got to make the right choice. Make the right choice. Psalm 101 verse 3 says, "I will not set before my eyes anything that's worthless. I hate the work of those who fall away. It shall not cling to me." What do you think in your life? If you process that for a moment, what do you think might be worthless? And what do you think in your life has worth? Is watching a whole load of TV programs, binge watching a TV program, is that worthwhile or is it worthless in the grand scheme of things? I'm telling myself this. I like certain programs. Is it worthwhile or is it worthless? And where is my balance to this? Every day we have a choice of what we allow before our eyes. Do we go God's way or our own? It's not like someone forces us, puts your arm behind your back and goes, "Look at that latest technology, you need that right now." He's not saying, someone go, "You need to buy that house." Someone's not saying, "Car, you need to buy that car right now." No one forces us to look with lust at other people. No one says, "Steve, today I just want to see how many people you can belittle in your conversations." They're choices that we make. You make a choice to look at things you shouldn't. You make a choice to spend a whole evening, four times a week, binge watching a TV series. You make a choice to buy that new mobile phone, even though you had a mobile phone just 12 months ago. You know the thing, don't you? Every time, these days now, with mobile phones, you can actually get an upgrade every single year. But the crazy thing is, you've probably not paid off the old one, and the prices for the new one are even higher. You're like, "But I've got a new phone." It does the same thing. not all that it's cracked out to be. If we give an opening, we have an issue. We need to choose to die to self, to die to our sinful nature, and to live for Christ. As Jesus says in Matthew 6, verse 24, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. Thirdly, don't give an inch. I'm sure you've heard the phrase, give an inch and they'll take a mile. Meaning at times you give someone a small amount of power and they'll try and get a lot more. If you give an opening to the devil, he'll barge right through, and before you know it, it'll become a stronghold. The best way to protect our eyes from the things of the world is to not give an inch. So not give an inch. Jesus teaching from the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 5:29 says, if your right eye causes you to sin, tear it out, throw it away. For it's better that you lose one of your members than your whole body to be thrown into hell. Now from first glance, this seems like Jesus might be slightly overreacting. Plucking out your eye or cutting off an arm seems a pretty drastic, doesn't it? But sin is drastic. What we let in through our eyes has the power to bring life or to cause darkness and chaos. Sin is not something we should dabble with or not take seriously. It is really the difference between life and spiritual death. It is the difference between heaven and hell. Life in all its fullness and being enslaved. Jesus is saying, don't give sin or the devil even a chink in the armour. Be on your guard. Don't give an inch. If you find yourself this morning finding you've given the devil more than an inch, you've probably given him half a foot or a foot, or wide open, it's time to close the door. It's time to not give him an inch. Now, Jesus is not asking us to literally gouge out our eye, and everyone says amen to that. Because anybody who's a Christian will be walking around with one eye. No, what Jesus is saying is this. He's using hyperbole, a hyperbolic statement to make us understand the true awful nature of sin and its power. Don't go there even for a second. Be careful what you see. No longer let sin have dominion over you. Galatians 2 verse 20 says this, I have been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I that live, but Christ who lives in me. We're not living, or we shouldn't be living for self any longer. We need to die to self. Even when we do things that the scripture tells, even when we get our priorities straight, we make the right choices and we don't give an inch to our sinful nature as a general rule, there will still be times when we let our guard down. There will still be times when we see things that we don't want. Or we give in to sin. So what then? This is when we need that soul detox. Detox of our eyes, of our heart, of our ears, of our actions, of our words. The good news is we don't need to be forever stained by sinful influences of the world that we've allowed through our eyes. Things that we've accepted now as the norm. There is hope and there is forgiveness for us all. We can have our very own soul detox. 1 John 1 verse 9 says, if we confess our sin, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Simply put, God says he'll forgive us when we sin if we ask him. But he also promises to wipe away the shame and the condemnation we feel as a result of our own wrongdoing. But the complete process is also a turnaround. Is a 180-degree turn in the opposite direction. Not 360. 360, you end up in the same place. And that's probably, in some ways, where we go wrong. We turn around and then we still end up where we started. We need to go in the opposite direction. The power of the blood of Jesus through his death and resurrection brings us a cleansing and healing to our broken and hurting hearts. 1 Peter 2 verse 24 says, he himself bore our sins in his body on the cross so that we might die to sin and live for righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed. There is nothing too dark that we have allowed through our eyes that isn't covered and changed by the blood of Jesus. In him, Ephesians 1:7 says, in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of his grace. But once we've experienced God's forgiveness, we then need to realign our eyes, as the key verse says from Philippians 4:8-9, as we read in the beginning, it says, finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you've learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. We need to refocus our hearts and our eyes. So how do we focus on these right things the Apostle Paul talks about more consistently? I want to be a person that looks at these things and looks at the right things every day, not occasionally, but every single day. Well, what we need is the correct foundation. These last three brief points will just say what we need to do. Firstly, it's this. It's the most important one. Spend time in God's presence. Yes, it's the obvious answer. At least it is in theory, isn't it? But what about in practice? If you were to weigh up how long you spent in God's presence on a daily basis, allowing your eyes to read his word, and how long you spent watching TV or surfing the net, I think most of us would have a nasty shock. I guess we probably already know that, but it's good to be reminded. Why is it then that we don't address it? I guess it might be because it's a perceived lack of time or a perceived lack of motivation. Is it wanting control so we can do what we want? I don't know. It might be different for each person. The real question though we need to ask ourselves is this. What is really most important to you? What is going to benefit your soul in the long term? At the beginning of the new year, as we seek to ask questions about the state of our soul, now is a really, really good time for us to address the balance. Or redress the balance. After all, what good really comes from spending so much time on social media? What goodness comes from binge watching a TV show for hours upon end? What comes from allowing our eyes to see things that leads to sin and shame? It's a waste of our time. It damages our souls and does nothing in preparation for our eternal future. King David says in Psalm 119 verse 37, turn my eyes from looking at worthless things and give me life in your ways. King David was a man who ran after God's heart, but he also battled with his eyes and allowing what he saw and the fact of who he was as king. He knew the world only offered worthless things. Spending time in God's presence builds the foundation to fight, to bring light to his soul. Spending time in God's presence will bring you and I hope, joy and purpose. And will also make a difference to the people that we do life with. You spend more time in God's presence, I guarantee your spouse will notice. You spend time in God's presence, I guarantee your kids will notice. You spend time in God's presence, I guarantee you'll get better at doing your work. Because doing your work, or doing work better, ain't going to come from surfing the net, finding out how to be a better boss. It only comes from spending time with God. Hebrews 12 tells us, let's fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. Secondly, and there's actually only 2 points actually I was going to make. The second one, my seed strength is so, so important. Pray over your eyes. Pray over your eyes. What do I mean? Your eyes are valuable. We've already seen that all the way through this sermon today. Your eyes are valuable. They're either light to your body or a gateway for the devil to take a foothold. Let's take a look. We need to protect ourselves, and the best form of protection for our eyes is always going to be prayer. We pray for our families, don't we? Yeah? Do you pray for your family? You pray for your friends? You pray for the decisions that you need to make? You pray in your moments of crisis, in your moments of health crisis, in your moments of finances? If we know then that our eyes are a key component to keeping our souls healthy, then to not pray is a big mistake. When was the last time? And I say to me, when was the last time you prayed over your eye? Lord, would you protect me from what I see today? Would you help me to see and look at holy things and those things that are going to bring value? Yes, there are going to be certain things where you'll see stuff that you're not actually going to aim to look for. And that's another thing. As long as we just continue to go, oh my God, that was not helpful, please just keep my eyes focused on you. But generally, because some things that we do, we look at stuff, we know it. We know that it's probably not helpful, and we still do it. What I'm saying this morning is, let's keep our eyes intact, let's pray over our eyes at the beginning of every day. Through the day if we need to. God, protect my eyes. Let me see only those things that are going to be beneficial to me. You see, if we don't pray over our eyes, if we don't take this seriously, we are vulnerable. We're vulnerable and we're unprotected. You want to protect yourself. Protect your eyes at all costs. So as we finish today, as we close this morning, I sense it's right for us to do two things. It's only going to take maybe a few minutes. Firstly, I want us to take a few minutes to think about the things that we've allowed our eyes to see over the last week, or perhaps longer. And I want us to ask God this question. God, would you reveal to us anything that needs to be dealt with right now? Because there are things that affect our soul that have happened that we need to dig out before it takes root. Ask him to remove these things that have been allowed to chip away at your soul. So right now, for these next couple of minutes, I just want you to close your eyes or do whatever you need to do, but just focus on God for this next couple of moments. And ask God honestly, as I'm going to do myself. And then I'm going to pray for us. And then we'll do the second part.